Dakota salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest,
okay.
Like a dolce.
So, Sean, maybe it's a fault of mine that I don't know this. On your trips to Lake Charles, when you're not listening to an audiobook, or if you do that, or a podcast.
Normally it's a podcast.
If you're putting together a musical playlist,
mm-hmm.
is there a consensus on the songs, or is there just a general mix?
I'm kind of all over the place, and it's a lot of like just randomly what pops in my head kind of thing, and then I, you know, cue it up.
Would death metal make an appearance?
No, probably not. I'm not like anti it. It's just
not something.
Like specific subgenre is not like really my thing. I like more thrash metal. It's a difference.
But. Okay, so for people who are like Sean and maybe don't even know what death metal sounds like, let's play Hatebreed. And you hear the name Hatebreed, and trust me, they look like a band that would have the name Hatebreed, and the music lines up as well. Okay, you get the point. I mean, there'll be more screaming and mysterious. Okay, we can fade that down. You get it. That's Hatebreed, death metal. Okay, death metal, as far as its packaging, seems very consistent. Some angry-looking white dude with tattoos. That's the image that
there's
pops.
A type.
That image pops into your head. You probably wouldn't be wrong. Okay. Now, there's some new packaging, apparently, if you live in Chile. And you say Chile. I learned that when the Copa America was here years ago. And they're called, and it's Chile, not Chile. Yeah. Well, a Chilean Miss Chilean contestant, as you might imagine, is the front woman for a death metal band called, I'm going to assume it's pronounced Decesis. D-E. I ain't going to spell it. But it's pronounced, I think it's Decesis. And she is a contestant. Her name is Ignacia Fernandez, and she looks like a woman who should be in, at least in this context, when she's dressed up, she looks like a woman who should be in a pageant. She's beautiful. She looks great in the dress, all that stuff. You just heard Hatebreed. Let's listen to Ignacia Fernandez. This was the talent portion for her in the Miss Chile contest. Sean's laughing in there. We can fade that down a little bit. So Ignacia Fernandez, she herself has over 147,000 followers.
It looks like someone like put in an audio track underneath what a normal pageant would look like. Because she looks exactly like a pageant girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She looks like she should be clogging.
Yes.
Which is what I saw when I was trying to find out what happens in the Miss America talent portion. They clog. They sing ballads.
Yeah.
There's no long-haired guitarist accompanying her.
With the goatee.
With the goatee while they're singing their song.
Soul Patch, I think.
Yeah, Soul Patch. The band Decesis has 38,000 followers. I don't know what that means as far as their popularity.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, fine, as far as it is concerned. But that popped up, and I thought to myself, you know, if death metal looked like that, Look, I don't like. I listen to bands like Dan's Gavin Dance. They're not considered death metal. So I grew up in. I was a Warped Tour kid, so I've heard screamo. I've heard all of it. I'm down with it. Death metal's probably a little outside the bounds.
It's like the hot sauce that's like one step too far.
Hey,
for
the
most
last
people.
Dab for me.
Yeah, it's like it's the bomb. Yeah, it's the last one on hot.
Yeah,
ones.
It's like that's probably a step too far for me.
Yeah,
I like a little melodic, and then you want to with the clean vocals, and you throw on some screamo. I'm good. I'm all in on that.
her voice.
But
so
when you
fun.
when you compare Ignacia voice with the visual, you're like, I don't know where that's coming from.
But
it's particularly because she's locked in as a pageant contestant,
yes.
Not in what her regular decessus form
I'm
is.
Sure, yeah, when she's on the stage, it looks a little bit different. But yeah, and then, like, even just the like, it sounds like it should tear apart her throat.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it would singing like that would tear apart my throat.
Yeah, sounds like the Hatebreed guy would have a little issue with that.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Guttural and everything. But
yeah.
I don't know that she won. I just know that
she got some points for the talent part.
Yeah,
I mean,
she stood out. I don't imagine anyone else in Miss Chile brought that to the table.
That again, this is like what would be in like Miss Congeniality would be like the joke.
If Sandra Bullock came out.
Yeah, she did. I think she did like self-defense because she was an undercover officer.
Yeah, so she had that in her bag.
Yeah, so she just like whatever elbowed Benjamin Bratt in the nose a couple times.
Shout out to Sean for knowing anyone other than Sandra Bullock from that movie.
Michael Caine's also in that track. And William Shatner.
How many times have you seen it?
A lot.
There it is. I may have
seen it. One of my favorite from my mom.
Once or twice.
It's a cable movie, or it's a cable TV.
Definitely.
Classic.
TNT, TBS, yeah. Definitely. So I hope Ignacia Fernandez goes on to great things. I don't know that it swayed the judges. In fact, they may have been shocked by it.
I can't imagine it. I think it helps you win the crowd.
Yes.
It doesn't help you. Or actually, no.
Maybe
it
not.
Helps,
it's a pageant crowd.
It helps you win the TV crowd.
Yes. It helps you win.
Radio show the next day crowd.
Yes. It just probably doesn't do great with the judges.
I can't imagine that the people that are, you know, the establishment when it comes to Miss Chile are like, hell yeah. This is cool and unique and we love this. They're probably like,
give us more clogging.
Hey, give us more clogging.
Give us some tap dancing.
Yeah, some like traditional Chilean folk music. We would like that.
Or maybe a Chilean pop song. We can't give you one because we're not from the country, but
no.
Give us one of those.
Yeah, but like, you know, I just can't imagine. I can't even imagine like Miss America doing this or Miss USA.
Well, I don't know that any of them are the front women for actual bands.
Probably not.
Not
probably
death not. Metal bands, at least. I mean, who would be the closest comp here? Like if... I'm trying to think of a front woman from an actual successful band wound up in the Miss America pageant. I don't know. I don't know. Amy Lee from Evanescence back wound up in Miss America.
I think that. Actually,
but even her, she doesn't growl like that.
Yeah, no. That's yeah.
There's probably no real. I'm sure there's front women in death metal bands that we don't know because we're not death metal fans. But they're not winding up. In the Miss America pageant.
No, again, it's like a joke in a movie. Like,
yeah.
The video of this looks dubbed. Like, it looks like she would be singing a different song, but it's dubbed to make it seem like she's singing death metal.
It'd be one of those, the movies that kind of mocked all the popular movies from the 2000s. And this one just had a scene.
Spartans?
Yeah, but this one just had a scene where it was mocking Miss Congeniality. That's what it would be.
We need to get back to that as a country, too. Just every 2 years being like, you know all the super popular movies? What if we made an hour and a half bad movie?
What are the Wayans brothers up to?
Yeah. Actually, they are making a new scary movie.
Yeah, so well, you ask and you will receive at
some
point.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
They're not going to do this.
Yeah.
It's too
Although, I am interested in their take on modern horror. I am interested in that. But
I'm sure
I want movie 23. Give me that.
I'm sure
I'm the first person to ever say that.
Probably,
including when it was out. I think.
I'm sure. Mr. Peel will be heavily involved as far as getting mocked.
Yeah,
in the most
him seems like a movie that gets made fun of. But actually, no. Marlon Williams is actually in that movie.
He's
never
not.
Mind.
Yeah, he can't do that. So maybe he stays away.
Whoops.
Maybe he stays away from Jordan Peel because of his affiliation. So there it is. Just a little. that popped out over the last 24, 48 hours. And I thought to myself, I like this.
I do like it. I do like it. It's, I mean, again, during the break before the segment, we were talking about, like, what are the normal talents? And, like, they're all clogging and tap dance and slam poetry.
Yeah.
That one feels like that's the, like, oh, slam poetry, you know? Like,
it's a little different.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah. As I said,
I
went through the top 11 in their talent portion of the Miss America, and it was all those things, and it all fit. Sean thought maybe they would do the thing where you have a water and cuts at different levels,
that was
and
also
and you run your finger around the rim to make different noises. I think they've moved past that.
Okay.
They've other evolved. Things.
That's the like 11-foot mid-range jump shot of the pageant. They're like, yeah, stop taking those.
Yeah, Udonis Haslam knocking down mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, baseline jumpers.
Yeah, knock that off. We're not doing that anymore. Let's play this one more time as we go. We're going to go to break here, but let's hear. Hey, we talked about her a lot, but Ignacio Fernandez has a talent. Let's hear that, and we'll close it out the segment. This is the lead singer of Decesis and also a Chilean beauty pageant contestant. Remind you, she is wearing a flowing beauty contestant dress while she's doing this. With the accompaniment of her lead guitarist. You can find it online, and you'll be as entertained by it as we are.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we talk Rockets in hour one, early in hour one. Easy win against the Grizzlies. So easy that Kevin Durant spent time telling Ja Morant's dad that his son wasn't long for Memphis.
Also telling a lady on the baseline to chill out.
Relax. Watch the game, baby. Just watch the game. It's fine. That was the level of comfort that was going on in the midst of him having his worst night as a Rocket, 5 of 18, but the rest of the team had their way, so... That happened late last night. We talked about the Lakers nearly blowing a game thanks to Marcus Smart, but winning. Also, Eric Spoelstra, house caught on fire. They are in Denver, a place they never win. And then Bam Adebayo gets hurt in the game. He's going to get an MRI today to determine the length of time, or at least the extent of the injury. We'll see if he misses any time. But Eric Spoelstra came home to seeing his house on fire. They played at Denver, 8 o'clock our time. I guess the fire started at about 4-something a.m. in the morning, and the heat didn't land until about 5 a.m. or so. So as he's rolling up to his home, he just sees it ablaze. It was a big fire. One of those things where we're talking about extensive damage if you haven't seen the video. So you can see Eric Spoelstra walking by his now – in flames house. Of course, not a question of whether he'll be able to recover. It'll be a question of what was in that house that he can't replace. No one was home, so thankfully no one was injured, obviously with him out of town. And I believe he is divorced, but he does have kids, but the kids weren't at the house, so that's fortunate. But yeah, just some things that popped up in the NBA last night. And, of course, on the court, I think we talked about it, that the Thunder lost their first game. The Blazers are pretty tricky. After Chauncey Billups got arrested, Tiago Splitter, yes, that Tiago Splitter is their interim head coach. And the Blazers have a nice team right now.
Yeah, it's very funny. All the people after Chauncey Billups got arrested by the FBI were like, so I guess my – Chauncey Billups coach of the year ticket isn't going to hit.
Does it? Can you shift it to Tiago?
I don't think so. B, that does prove, or that just showed, like, this was a team that was going to be on the upswing and still is on the upswing, actually. And yeah, Tiago Splitter now manning the ship. Maybe get in on a Tiago Splitter Coach of the Year.
If it's on the board.
Narrative help, too. Yeah, former Spur center, former Rockets assistant coach. How about that? Yeah, taking credit. I'm taking credit for that.
Why? You're not part of the Rockets.
I don't know.
Are you going to take credit for
that? They took our system.
He's not a
took our system back to Portland.
He's not a former ESPN ISM5 intern.
No.
Then you could take credit. So,
like Kelly Eco's reporting that John Morant, the head coach of the Grizzlies,
are
don't
talking.
Speak.
Yeah.
That's a Kelly Eco, former ESPN 97.5 intern exclusive.
You can take all the credit for it, everything he's accomplishing, because he used to.
He was an intern here before I was an intern here. Yeah.
Yeah. He was here not getting paid to work. Yeah. So the acquisition, now he didn't play last night, but Drew Holiday is someone who, well, actually did. I take that back. He did played well. He's had a really good year for them. After people were kind of burying him after once Boston decided to get rid of him for Anthony Simons. But he has played well. It has probably made Scoot Henderson, who's dealing with a hamstring tear, not someone they have to depend on, which may be good for them. Because he hasn't played at all this year because of the hamstring tear. So Drew Holiday's been massive for them. And they get a win. They're 5-3. So Portland may be a team not to worry about, per se, but a team just to keep your eye on as maybe a new playoff team this year.
When they pop up on the schedule, it's like, oh, okay, this is a real team.
Remember when they had, what was it, Blanton, he had the number 76 or something?
Yes.
And you couldn't take
Delonto
him seriously.
Delonto
Blanton or something like that. And he had that number that suggested, nah, this ain't a real basketball
10-day
player.
10-day contract.
Yeah,
that's
get
what
out
you should have said on the –
get out of here.
The number should have been 10-day contract.
Yeah. They don't have to depend on him anymore. Guys like Denny Avia have played well. They don't have to worry about DeAndre Ayton pouting. He's in L.A. So they got a pretty good squad.
Yeah.
And let's stick with the NBA for a moment. Donovan Mitchell, great player, put up a 40 spot last night for the Cavs, who have had some issues with Darius Garland being out. They expect his return. If he didn't come back last night, they expect it shortly. They beat the Sixers last night, another surprise team. Because we just think they're a mess, but Vijay Edgecombe's been good. Tyrese Maxey's good. Joel Embiid still on the minutes restrictions. Actually didn't play last night, second night of a back-to-back. But Darius Garland did make his appearance for the first time this year last night. But Donovan Mitchell goes for 46 in their win over the Sixers. And after the game, because when you're online, people have access to you, he explained his motivation and what led to his big night last night against the Sixers.
I wouldn't put the game that I had based on the court. This kid pissed me off today. I was playing 2K. I've been playing 2K for like 2 hours, and I told him, too. I was like, wait, just wait. And he just called me washed up. He called me a bunch of things. But I love it, you know what I mean? He said he ain't seen a highlight from me in a minute. And I just told him, all right, we'll see. He said, tell me to go to sleep. Like he was going in. So this game was for that kid or grown man, whoever that was. So I appreciate you. I told him I'd give him a shout-out, too. So that's what tonight was.
Real shout-out, you know my gamer tag. We're talking about shout-outs.
Or know if I'm a man or child.
Yeah, if he's talking to you on the headset, don't you know who he is? Man or child. But either way, shout-out to that individual for getting Donovan Mitchell motivated. I'm sure the Sixers appreciated it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, thanks for that.
It's got to be so sick to be able to do that. Just to play 2K when you are an NBA player, that's got to be sick.
Look,
I don't know. Take out my frustration.
I don't know Donovan Mitchell's like personal life, whether he has kids or a significant other, but these guys got so much time on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just dropped two. Look, we know some of these guys stream.
They spend so much time in hotel rooms.
Yeah, this was a home game, but to your point, they spend so much time in hotel rooms. A lot of those guys carry their gaming systems with them. They have it so they set up on the plane, too. He just spent 2 hours playing a kid, and the kid or man, who knows?
Donovan Mitchell,
he doesn't even know, motivated him enough to go out there. The kid told him, go to sleep.
That's
so you know it had to have been like 3 a.m. when he's up playing. Go to sleep.
You got a game tomorrow.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Donovan Mitchell.
You got Tyrese Maxey to deal with tomorrow.
Vijay Edgecombe's going to catch you in hell.
Yeah, don't let him catch a body. Don't let you be the body that Vijay Edgecombe catches.
That's so funny.
Later today.
I haven't seen a highlight of you in a while.
It's nuts.
I will say that kid's got good smack talk.
It's great.
Grown man. I don't know.
Who knows? But that was part of the NBA experience last last night. But, you know, credit to the kid. Maybe he's a Cavs fan and just want to get his guy right.
Okay, actually, it's bad smack talk. Donovan Mitchell has gone for 30 points once, twice, three times, four times, and then 46 last night.
But it worked, so it can't be that bad. It got to Donovan Mitchell that he remembered. He remembered enough to mention it in the presser after the game.
Yeah, no, but the game before, he scored 37.
Yeah, but still.
I know.
He didn't see the highlight.
He didn't see the highlight.
Bunch of floaters. Who knows?
Yeah.
That got him going. So, yeah, that's the NBA as a whole. Tonight, while there is Thursday Night Football, I think it's a light slate. Yeah, it's only one game. It's the Clippers versus Phoenix, and you mentioned it in your Prize Picks. It's the return, it looks like, of Jalen Green. So we'll see what he does. A Clippers team who is under 500. Kawhi plays or doesn't play depending on the back-to-back situation. So we'll see if he plays tonight, and maybe he keeps Jalen Green from whatever number Prize Picks has. So I don't play.
It's 13 and a half.
Okay, 13 and a half. There it is. I don't play games where I can hear people. Hell, even in our dynasty, I don't hear anything coming from the other end.
Mm.
So I did that when I had FIFA. I would go back and forth with people. It's not fun.
I only do it like in our dynasty.
Yeah.
It's the only time I ever like want to talk to people. I have no interest in talking to a stranger.
Yeah, I turn my headset off mostly because I'm just yelling things that I shouldn't yell as a grown man playing a video game. But when it comes to FIFA, the kids are the worst. Like when I play, it's all right, kids. All right, enough. I know you're great at this. I know I'm not very good. Enough out of you. So I just shut that down.
You know it's bad when you're like, I used to be really good at this game.
Well, yeah, I had less responsibilities.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. And Donovan Mitchell, I learned when I looked up his stats, is also a 29-year-old born in 1996.
Yeah.
So I feel like he and I are in the same part of our aging curve when it comes to video games, which is I think we're getting over the hill. I think we're...
At some point, you got to understand.
I think the game's left me.
Yes,
I think
you're hanging.
I haven't
on.
Left the game though.
You're hanging on, but it's passed you by.
In the
competition in the greater online world, I don't need to get. I'm just here to play games. I don't need to get cooked on screen and in my ears.
Here's an admission that I can't believe I'm going to admit on air. I've been playing the Assassin's Creed game.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple hours into the game, I was like, man. I got to bump this down to forgiving. I can't do standard. I got to go to forgiving.
Man. Oh, man.
the hits don't hurt as bad on forgiving.
That's tough. It's tough.
I'm not all the way down to story where it's like, hey, you just want to watch a movie with some video game in between? But
That's what YouTube is for.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh, I didn't pay $60 to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Sounds like that's where Donovan Mitchell's at. Good news for Donovan Mitchell. He can still score 47 points in a real NBA game. I don't exactly have that.
But to be fair, I bet you that kid cares less about that than the fact that, hey, can you beat me online?
That is true.
Yeah, score whatever. Sure, you got Tyrese Maxey's improved defensively, but whatever. Yeah.
If I was 17 years old and could beat, I don't know, whatever, James Harden in a video game, that would mean more to me than whatever Harden did the next night.
I don't care, man. When we lined up.
Yeah.
On the court, he had nothing for me.
Take that, Blake Griffin. Just players that were...
Sure. I get it. All right. When we come back, I'm going to give you the numbers of what maybe Fromber is going to be asking for. ESPN has their projections for what big-name free agents are going to make. The Astros may be in line to bring back Justin Verlander at a significant decrease as far as numbers are concerned compared to Fromber. Fromber's out there. Alex Bregman's out there. Who opted out. We'll give you some of the numbers for some of the free agents the Astros probably won't get, maybe some that they could be interested in. We'll do that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. And they got a deal going. If you have a couple problems, plumbing problems, they can fix them, particularly if it's a repipe issue. If you have an older home and you're noticing water's not coming out clean because you use that water to wash yourself, wash your clothes, wash your dishes, cook with, all those things are important. And if you're starting to notice little things that look like rust in your pipes or little things maybe like debris, I got a place for you that'll fix it. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And if you go with the repipe, you have a free water heater coming with you as well. Just go with Aqueduct Plumbing Company. So you get the repipe, you get the water heater. Those are big jobs, but maybe you got something smaller that you need to have fixed. It could be something as simple as a leak that you don't know where it's coming from. You're worried that the water's going to get into your walls. You don't want that damage. They'll take care of that for you as well. And one of the best things about them is they have that free price quote, because you're not an expert. That's why you're talking to them. You don't know what the problem is. You just know there is one. So that free price quote is there for you. They'll come out there, take a look, and they'll do it for free. And, of course, beyond the website, which is aqueductplumbingcompany.com, you can call them. They're at 281-488-6238. Get in touch with them. Let them figure things out, and then get yourself set, because you don't want to deal with a plumbing issue. Small problems can become big problems, and then things happen in your home that you want no part of. So the website, once again, is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So this list comes from ESPN, and give the person credit. I don't know that I've heard of them before, but Kylie McDaniel put a list together of what potential baseball free agents could be in line for. And a lot of Astros connections, even in just the top four. Like, the top of the list is Kyle Tucker. Of course, the Astros got away from that because they know no matter what Kyle Tucker did in 2025, they weren't going to pay him what he demanded, so they made the move.
Sounds like the Cubs are in that same bucket, too, where I think Passan said they're, like, unlikely to get a long-term deal with
them. Which hurts them even more, considering what they gave up. Now, Cam Smith, up and down, as you might expect from a rookie. Wesneski got hurt, but Paredes, when he was available, was good for the Astros, and the Cubs gave up what they needed to get Kyle Tucker, and it didn't lead to any winning when it mattered the most, which Kyle Tucker now has that reputation. So, but he's at the top of the list, and Kylie McDaniel went through Kyle Tucker's struggles, and he said he would likely come in under like $400 million. Poor Kyle Tucker.
Damn.
Now, with Vlad Guerrero Jr. getting his extension for 14 for 500, the projection for Kyle Tucker, tough to swallow if you are anyone who had to watch him play and fail in the postseason the last couple of years. 11 years, $418
million. 11 years.
That's the projection. That is 38 per year at 29 years old.
Ooh, okay, I was about to look up how old he is.
Going to pay him till 40. Oh, that is a projection. Now, he acknowledges.
You know what? I'm glad Jim Crane doesn't spin like
that. Look, it's not even my money, but you know how it's not our money, but you know how it would prohibit them from doing other things. Because, we pay Kyle Tucker, so we're stuck here.
Yeah.
So you know how that always works. But 11 years, $418 million for Kyle Tucker at 29.
Why do baseball deals have to be projection. 11 years?
I don't know how that came about. Like the NBA put it in
seven. Like 7 would be
a decade long. See, this is my thing. I get the players want to rack up as much money as possible.
Yeah, lock it in.
But even in life, do you want to lock in yourself to someplace for 11 years? Not. Let's just say it all.
38 mil.
Yeah, understood all that. But you know what? I take 5 years, 38 mil per season, because maybe I don't want to be here for over a decade.
Yeah, but then when you're, you know, 34 in Kyle Tucker's case. When understood. You're a 34 free
and
agent.
And you're not producing to the level of 38.
So you want to, basically it's all built on, we will be underpaid early and overpaid late.
Yeah, people will be saying poor as you early and then saying, get this guy off my effing team.
Yes.
Late.
Yes. It'll be
two different fan bases doing it in some cases.
More than likely. Yeah.
But that's how it works.
It'll be, can you believe that? You know, insert young star player. You know, Hunter Skeens is only making this much per year, and then by the end of when Paul Skeens is 38, it'll be, oh my God, they're paying him what?
Yeah, it's just how it's built. Like the NBA got away from the long term. Like the most you can sign for is 5, and that's because you have to sign with your current team. The most you can sign with the new team is 4. So, look. I guess. Okay. You want to, like, locking yourself in for over a decade with the team, but when it's 38 per year, you'll take it.
Does the article have any, suitors, or is it just the
projection? Just the projection. Okay. And since he's the top, apparently he's listed, according to this, as the top free agent available, he's going to get that much. Number two, another Astros-related individual, Framber Valdez. We know how it ended here. It felt like Framber was doing things to get himself out of here.
Yes, it did feel like that.
He did not end his tenure, his apparent end of tenure with the Astros, on a great note with the fans. Don't imagine the clubhouse appreciated the things he was doing either. And Framber, according to this projection, 6 years, which is in line with what the Astros may give a guy. So it's not a decade's worth of
Framber.
Framber, which probably is 4 years too much of Framber, or maybe more. 6 years, 168. Under $30 million a year. 28 per year.
That's a little, I was going to say a little light, but that probably means it's pretty good, you know? That it's like, okay, that, because throughout the year, it was like, there's some big numbers attached to him.
Thinking the Max Fried deal. Max Fried got 8 years over 215, I think 218 million. And they're relatively around the same age. Max Fried got his deal at 31, mm-hmm. and Framber's now 32. And if you look at some of the numbers, at least before the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, you can say comparably, those pitchers are in the same tier.
Yeah.
And Framber.
But I guess that last 2 months, really.
I don't know if that's the case. Maybe just Framber was never going to get that. Look, it's a great contract, a lot of money anyway. But I don't know that Framber is going to be looking at that projection and going, wait a minute, why is Max Fried a $200 million guy and I'm not?
Yeah.
Well, maybe don't do that last month and a half to 2 months of the season, and maybe you're in the $200 million conversation.
I will say, I'm glad. Two former Astros, I'm glad the Astros aren't in the business stuff. Although,
but if
like,
I ask,
like you said, the Framber deals.
Before the Framber thing happened the last 2 months, if I told you you can get him for under 30 per year at 6 years,
that'd
be
good.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, especially 6 years.
And now, but now we're like,
yeah,
beat it.
Like now it's like 4 years, 3 years. It was what I'd be comfortable with. You know, it's like the amount of years is really what's gone down. It's the money I'm actually kind of cool with. Yeah. The money, it's like 35. Yeah, but 35 for 3 years. Like, I don't want to be in the long-term Framber Valdez business.
So Alex Bregman's on the list, but as far as Astro stuff, obviously the connection there, but him returning, no. Let's go to a guy who they were mentioned to be involved in at the trade deadline, Dylan Cease.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan Cease. The Padres asked for too much. They wanted one Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, and Bryce Matthews.
Yeah,
right?
They wanted too much for the Astros' liking, so that deal didn't get made, particularly at that point, which when Dylan Cease would have been a rental. Of course, they could have always signed him in the offseason. But 30 years old, how does the five-year, $145 million number strike you at just under $30 million a year?
That's about right. Like, I think I'd rather sign him to that deal than Framber
to the deal I mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that feels about right. I mean, you know, you're just two people, you know, you only need two teams to make that, you know, 175 instead of 135. But,
and he's a guy that, unlike recent Astros pitchers besides Hunter Brown and Framber, to his credit, he shows up there every turn in the rotation.
Yeah, that's why, to me, like, he is the type of guy that I would want. You know, like, the higher price, although this isn't, you know, this isn't a Garrett Cole kind of contract, but higher price pitcher where it's like, I need some background in, like, availability or stability. He's not really that stable. He had a couple off years, but the peaks have been really high with him. And again, just my trust in Astros pitching development and coaching is that if this guy has shown that he's been good before, I kind of believe that the Astros will get that out of him.
Yeah, he had a off year by his standards last year. We actually kind of talked about
it. Yeah, but I think the second half he was better.
I'll look in that. Yeah. He, Cy Young consideration the year previous, and of course in 2022 when he was at his best, he finished second in the Cy Young Award. So if you're looking for that guy who would line up behind Hunter Brown, Dylan Cease may be your option at 30 years old. And if you're going to get him for 5 years,
that's get out at 35.
Yeah, it's something to really consider. So baseball season's over. I don't know if we're going to have to wait till February before the Astros make a move of any significance as far as their pitching staff beyond the apparent JV return. But Dylan Cease may be the one to look at if they were as interested as they were reported to be around the trade deadline. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment. You're welcome to join us. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in. We got one segment before Rich Eisen is next. And then, of course, Jeremy and Joe after him. So join us. We'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
I want to thank the Jets for something. Yeah, they were in the midst of a fire sale, but they didn't do us all the disservice of giving Breece Hall to the Chiefs. I want to thank them for that, at least. I mean, yeah, I don't care. Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys, whatever. Not that big of a deal. Of course, the Sauce Gardner thing. Not great for the Texans, and not just this year, for the future as well. I know it's looked at as this move to solidify the Colts as a title contender this year, but I don't like the thought that Sauce Gardner is going to be a Colt for years to come. So the Chiefs were willing to give up a fourth rounder for Breece Hall in the upcoming draft. The Jets stood firm with a third round price tag, and the Chiefs said, too rich for our blood. Particularly, let's see, the Chiefs felt a third round pick in 2026 with the contractual control for 4 years was more valuable than 8 games and a potential postseason run with Hall. So Breece Hall is a free agent upcoming, and of course the Chiefs couldn't go draft a guy and have the control of his rights for that 4 years. So they decided, no, thank you. I'm glad cooler heads prevailed. I don't need a big time back, at least the potential for a big time back in Kansas City. Get your plodding Isaiah Pacheco. Hey, you want to throw the ball a couple times to Rashard Smith, the swing passes, maybe he makes a guy miss.
Yeah.
I don't need Breece Hall in Kansas City. Sometimes the world is right. The football world came to the proper conclusion by not allowing that trade to happen.
Especially with how, and I know they just lost, but how the Chiefs have looked since Rashee Rice has come in, where it's like, oh, now all the receivers and Travis Kelce, like, they all kind of bump down a spot to where it's like, okay, this all feels much, much more like, oh, you know, Xavier Worthy's more of a gadgety number two kind of guy, not our number one option. Travis Kelce is now like a third or fourth option, more of a red zone piece. Okay, that feels for where Kelce is at this point of his career. If you did all that, basically like not fixed, but really helped the passing side of their offense, and then also, how about if we fix your running game too? Like, that would have been a bit much. I like my Chiefs. I like the last couple of years of the Chiefs. You know, I like it where it's like a struggle. I like where it's like, hey, let's make Patrick Mahomes really sweat for these 24 points that are going to be enough to win the game. But just make him work for it. All right.
And while it may be infuriating to some people when he does it,
I like it better than 48 point.
I was going to say, I need the Chiefs where Patrick Mahomes knows he needs to flop to get an advantage. I don't want him doing it just for fun.
For the extra 15.
Yeah, I need that stress on him going, man, I need to game the system some way, because we ain't got a lot here. The version of the Chiefs where it's just an added bonus if he gets 15, not a necessity that the refs, according to some people, help them. I don't like that
version. It's going to take 3 passes to Juju Smith-Schuster to get 15 yards. Yeah. What if I just fall down?
Yeah, yeah.
I can just fall down and get it.
He was trying to be more efficient that way.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, he'll do that after completing the 20-yard pass or Rashee Rice, just to get him half the distance of the goal.
We got enough. Again, it's like, Mahomes is good enough to where I'm okay putting him on hard mode. All right. Like remember when the Chiefs were such a fun, high flying offense? Yes, I remember. And those will live on forever in
history.
YouTube videos. Yeah, I don't need that coming back. I don't need that coming back.
Keep that in 10K. I don't want it in 4K. I don't want to be able to watch on CBS, the 4K version. If I want to choose that,
I don't need them being so good on offense and so explosive on offense that when the Texans were up 24-0 and then when the Chiefs got to 24-14, I was like, this thing might be over. Like,
do you guys remember those days where the Texans can go up 24-0 on the Chiefs in the playoff game? And it was 28-24 by the half?
They're up at halftime.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes, I do. But no thanks.
Yeah.
I want to make it a sweat. I want to make it. But they get the 28th point, you know, midway through the fourth, and then need a key stop to lock this thing up. I know I'm still granting them, you know, AFC championship game by like birthright.
It's the invitational. They're always there. Yeah.
Yes, but just make them work for it. Make them work for it.
And the Jets helped us out there.
Thank you. Thank you, GM of the New York Jets, I don't know.
Whoever that may be.
Thank you, Aaron Glenn. I'll just give it to Aaron Glenn.
Sure. Sure. We thank you, Aaron Glenn, for that. All right. So, speaking of the NFL weekend, the Texans are at a spot where they're not playing out the string, I guess. But if they lose and they're 3-6, well, Jeremy's already done it. He's already started doing the draft stuff where making selections.
I think we asked earlier this season, I think it was after the Seahawks game, when does it become Tankathon Monday? I think a loss on Sunday. I think we're pivoting our focus to Tankathon. Now, if they win, then they get the Titans. Now you're 5-5. Like, you're back into, you know, at least the theoretical wild card hunt.
You're on the graphic of in the hunt. And actually,
you're literally in the hunt.
And it means something as opposed to in the hunt, but not really. You just haven't been officially eliminated yet.
You just need I just need you to be 500 by mid-November. If you're below 500 by mid-November and you're not like extenuating circumstances like the Baltimore Ravens, where it's like, they missed their quarterback for a couple games, although they won one of them. But it's like, okay, I can see how they're like, they got a track to get back into this thing. The Texans, like, the track is harder to see because even after you get past, like, let's say they win on Sunday, let's say they win against the Titans. I mean, you still got the aforementioned Chiefs. You still got a Thursday night game against the Bills, a team they beat last year, but still tough. They have Chargers towards the end of the season, pretty good team.
They host the Cardinals.
Colts isn't
a given.
Yeah, Colts twice, who are one of the best. I mean, the best team of the AFC so far this season. So, it's a harder road than the Ravens have. That's why I need the Texans to be 5-5 before we, you know, are talking about can they get back in this thing.
As it stands now, according to ESPN Bet, which it won't be in existence for much longer. If you missed that,
pour one out.
They're refuse to do that. They're a 1.5 point favorite, which is odd, I guess. I guess the Jags shouldn't be respected. So they're one and a half point favorite despite no CJ. And going forward, how many more games would they be favored? Titans, yes. Home Cardinals, home Raiders with Stroud back, sure. But you ran down the schedule. So at this point,
it's a tough schedule.
If you just go by predictive results, they're a 7-1 team. If you just go by who would be favored and when, if health remains the same for the current teams on their schedule.
Yeah.
They would be predicted to win 7 games this year.
Now, if we have a little bit of Daniel Jones' Linsanity run is over, now those two Colts games, instead of being, you know, tough obstacles, they're opportunities. See, get back in this thing.
The Colts game, their home game is close to the final game of the season, so who knows.
Have they ever won the final game of the season to beat the Colts
have,
and make the playoffs?
They have. Well, my thought was, who knows what the Colts may be playing for at that point. If the Colts
hopefully the division with the Texans.
Well, that is your
hope. I feel good about that spot. Can we bring back Gardner Minshew?
No.
And that random third string running
who
back.
Who you threw the ball to?
For some reason, instead of Jonathan Taylor.
Was he on the field or hurt? I don't remember.
No, Jonathan Taylor was just off the field for that play. Well, it was crazy.
Well,
Shane Steichen.
he's learned. I would imagine he's learned his lesson.
Yes,
you would think so. So that might be a chance to win another game because the Colts don't care anymore because they have the division wrapped up. So who knows what it will actually look like. And the Chargers, they got to face it. Let's just say the final two games, if they're in the playoff chase, going to be tough. Got to go to L.A., and then they got to host the Colts.
Chargers likely will be at least playing for something in that game, right? Yeah. They're at least going to be in like the wild card chase. I don't know what their schedule looks like.
They don't have tackles anymore. Alt's done.
That makes it tough. Maybe they're not.
Yeah, they're 6-3 right now, so they do have a little.
They had some games in their pocket.
Yeah, but still, without your two starting tackles that you had to begin the year, Sean Slater and Joe Alt, it's going to be tough for the Chargers, whose depth at offensive line isn't great.
Has anyone ever asked what if Justin Herbert had help?
In fact, they have, Sean.
Oh.
Maybe every couple weeks. Think of Justin Herbert on this team, or what he would be on this team, or with this guy. It's a consistent
thing. What if he had tackles?
Yeah, well, now we have this. There'll be an if things don't go their way down the stretch, or they blow, or maybe not even blow, just get blown out in a playoff
game. Yeah, I was going to say, even if they just lose a playoff game.
We'll have the conversation will come again. What if he had this? Because that'll be the theme for
just
him.
Just if Herbert?
Pretty much. Like, we talked about it, at least I talked about it earlier, that Jalen Phillips has developed the nickname Almost, because he almost sacks quarterbacks. Just if has been a thing. What if? For Herbert has been the theme. He belongs in that Marvel show.
That'd be fun.
Justin Herbert be fun. On What If.
What If? Yeah. What if he was drafted by, who else was in that?
The Bengals? Yeah,
it's not like they're,
they're not like
easy sailing.
What if he? What
or
if he,
the Dolphins?
What if the Eagles traded up instead of taking Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
What if?
What if?
What if he had that type of infrastructure?
Jeffrey Wright voicing. Being the narrator for that.
The alternative story of Justin Herbert when everything went right for him as opposed to apparently everything going right for him.
Judging by the injury report a lot of years with the Chargers, like we already kind of get Marvel Zombies with the Chargers. It's just like, hey, what if zombified Derwin James played this season?
What about this what if? What if Tyrod Taylor's lung wasn't punctured by the Chargers doctor? What if?
Good what if. Good what if.
As far as Justin Herbert's concerned, who knows when his career begins?
What if Brandon Staley had a concept of time and space? What if?
These are all things that surround Justin Herbert, and I imagine the season will end like it always ends, with the nerds loving him and the rest of the football public.
Doing the playoffs.
Exactly.
Doing the playoffs, buddy.
Exactly, which he has failed to do so far. We saw it firsthand last year. All right, we're done for the day. Rich Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
What if I did? I don't, though. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.